Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have back with us for his annual recertification, the judge from Family Court here in Rock Hill, Judge David Guyton. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Manning.
Now, we're going retired colonel.
Yes, that was already 7 years ago now that I've retired from the National Guard.
And I want to tell you that he can still wear his uniform because he brings it out every one of the patriotic days, and he's wearing it. Good for you. Good for you. So tell everybody who hasn't been before your bench a little bit about you.
Well, I am a Rock Hill native, graduated from Northwestern, went to Furman, and then University of South Carolina School of Law, and joined the Marine Corps while I was in the law school, went through officer's candidate class, and served 3 years active duty with the Marines, came back to Rock Hill and started practicing with Hugh Harrelson and Wes Hayes as partner in that law firm. Also worked as an associate city judge for about 10 years and then became a family court judge in 2010.
And you served our country in Desert Storm?
I'm a Marine Corps veteran of Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and then served 25 years or more with the South Carolina Army National Guard.
Good for you.
Let me go to Israel, South Korea, Colombia, South America. Lots of good experiences.
And the apple don't fall far from the tree? You have somebody in the family?
I do. My son, Caleb, is a captain in the Army at Fort Drum, New York.
How about that? And a daughter at Clemson.
That's
right.
Going
to be a doctor. We hope. That's where we are. You need to tell us who our guest is here today.
I have with me today, this is Casey Barnhill. She is entering her second year of law school at the University of South Carolina, and she's participating in a program that is called JOE, the Judicial Observation Experience. So the law school sets up with certain judges to allow for a two-week time frame where the student can sit with the judge and find out what it's all about.
You're fortunate, Casey, that I'm not putting a microphone in front of you to figure out what you've learned so far. Okay, so here we are. The thing that I did not realize until we set up this program is you have been basically your county's lone resident family court judge, right?
That's correct.
But that has changed. Tell me about that.
All right. We now have a new family court judge, a resident seat, and he is Chad Smith, who was elected back in February. So thanks to the tireless and enduring work of our legislative delegation, they were finally able to get another judicial seat for family court created for York County. Now, 5 years ago, we had another judge, Tony Jones, who was an at-large judge assigned to York County. So he was able to be at our courthouse most of the time, and he passed away 5 years ago this July. So since that time, it's kind of been me with the help of our other union judge, who's Tom White. He's now retired, but I'm going to really enjoy having somebody at the courthouse to help me out.
So you have been, since the passing of those two people, you've been the sole judge for handling all these family court cases?
Well, we have the visiting judges come in, and so we might be having three courtrooms going a week.
Okay.
So we have that help. But when it comes to a lot of the after hours or weekend work, it's kind of hard to divide that up, you know, when there's not another judge here.
So how many cases roughly is the family court in York County handling?
We usually, filing-wise, are going to have somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 cases. When you include the private actions, the Department of Social Services, and the juvenile actions with the Department of Juvenile Justice.
And all of these filings at one point or another have to come before a judge?
Pretty much everyone's going to have a judge touch it in some way or fashion along the way.
Let me rephrase that. Are a lot of these cases, settled without having a big old massive court case?
Well, fortunately, we do have a rule on our private cases that cases have to attempt mediation before they can be heard as a contested case.
Right.
So that forces the parties and their attorneys to sit down with a third person who's usually an experienced family court attorney who'll go through their case and try to help them resolve their issues without having the judge to do it. If they can, it saves us a ton of court time.
And normally you would accept the recommendation of the mediator if they can come up with a successful conclusion?
Normally we do. There's a hearing that's held, and we question them to make sure they understand everything and they're entering into it. And then the judge has to make a determination that it is, in fact, a fair agreement. And we'll adopt it and make it the order of the court.
I could spend the rest of the afternoon talking about all the variables that you have to consider before you render your ruling. I mean, I can't fathom. I've said this before. I can't fathom how you keep your head straight day after day after day, seeing how people treat each other in these situations.
Well, I think that's something then that Casey's been able to see last week and so far this week, is how difficult things can be and what a high level of conflict can occur between two people who at one time stood before God and man and said, I love you forever.
Yeah, and honor and cherish and all that stuff, right? Yeah, I got it. But one thing, we've talked about this before. That's one of the reasons you work out regularly, get it out of your system. I remember you telling me a story one time that you just had to go out of the court and went back in your office and just did about 25 push-ups.
I've done that before just to help get some of that out. Still work out with our F3 group early in the mornings, and also between a spiritual standpoint as well, prayer life, you got to have ways to balance.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so now we've got, when does Judge Smith take his chair?
He has already started.
He's already started.
So he became the judge July the 1st. He spent the first 3 weeks of this month, 1 week per judge with three different judges around the state as part of our kind of mentoring and training. And he's, in fact, in Lancaster this week holding court.
Okay. So he is one of three new judges that the legislature created?
He's one of three brand new judges. We have seven judges altogether. Four were taking spots where a judge is retired or may have passed away or something like that. So he's one of the three brand new statutorily created judicial seats.
Now, family court judges, I believe, have to do the same. These are my words, not yours, not trying to be disrespectful. The dog and pony show to get yourself reelected to the position down to the General Assembly, correct?
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
So what do you think of that whole process?
Well,
be honest now.
Okay, we just started yesterday, in fact, for the next election cycle for judges. An email was sent out. I'm going to run for reelection to this seat. I think from a family court standpoint, we have over 30 judges who are seeking reelection at this point. The process is tedious. The application itself is time consuming. They get a lot of personal information, including your finances. And then going down at some point and talking to members of the legislature about obtaining their vote. There's only a certain time you can do that. They have a legislative election, and I believe this one is maybe February the 5th of 2025. But we started the process yesterday, and there's citizens committee interviews and bar interviews. There's a public hearing before the commission. And when you're up for re-election, it's usually not as bad because you're still doing your day job as a judge. But for the newer judges, for an open position, it can really be a tough process going down and trying to talk to the members of the legislature. And I feel for them as well, because to have, you may have 50 or 60 or more candidates who are trying to get a bit of your time, to let them know who you are and obtain the vote.
Well, it is the process, and you can argue both ways about whether you have to go something like that or whether the governor should appoint you or how it should be done. But it is. But they have done – there was a lot of attention given last year to the process of how judges were nominated by fellow attorneys who would bring cases before these potential judges. Does that impact you at all as the way the process goes for the family court judges?
It could impact family court. I really find that in the majority of the cases for family court judges, there is less of an issue than there is at the circuit court level. And I've, in 14 years, I've only had a few circumstances, probably five or less, in which you maybe had conflicts with a lawyer legislature who might appear before you, that type of thing. And then for the whole election process, I've never really had any big issues. They've changed the makeup of the Judicial Merit Selection Committee this year so that I think the governor has a more input on the process. Hopefully it's not any problem. It doesn't worry me at this point. I think I'm in good stead with the governor's office, too. I'm on several committees that he's involved with.
So if a lawyer were to be representing a family, it came before your case and you had to work with them getting selected, would you just recuse yourself? Or how would you handle that?
I wouldn't recuse myself because I think that, unless I had a really, really strong social or personal relationship with that legislative member. But like I said, I do have to deal with that from time to time, but I've never found a member of the legislature that I've dealt with to abuse their position. Okay. That's why I say I think it can happen more at a circuit court level. It can happen at family court, but I've never really had anybody come in and abuse that situation.
So as a resident judge, family court judge, you obviously have lived here your whole life. So there are people who are coming before your court that you know. So there must be some way you say, I can handle this or I shouldn't handle this. I mean, if I came before you, you'd probably throw the book at me regardless.
Sheila would be in good shape.
Thank you. But, I mean, how do you handle something like that?
It depends on the relationship. And so there are friends that I have that I would never be able to hear their case. So I look at things, and the process is that if there might be some type of conflict, then we would go into court. I would announce that possible conflict.
Okay.
Step out of the courtroom and let the attorneys and parties decide if they still wanted me to hear the case or not. If the relationship is so strong that it would definitely create the appearance of some type of conflict or bias, then I would just recuse myself to begin with.
So speaking of new judges, we got a new top dog in South Carolina, new Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice. So has that changed the rules of the game as far as what you have to do day in and day out?
Not yet. Each new Chief Justice kind of brings their own style and personality to things. And probably the biggest thing for the judicial community is that the Chief Justice is also the administrator of the judicial branch. So not only are they sitting on the Supreme Court to make decisions on cases, they're really having to manage our whole system concerning how many judges we have, where they're at, all of the administrative tasks and policies that deal with being a judge from day to day.
Because it was the Chief Justice who closed the brand new courtroom down a day after it was open, right?
That's right. That's right. We had our brand new courthouse built here in York County for family court. There on West Main Street, and we started moving in on Friday, March the 13th of 2020, and on Monday, March the 16th, we had our first day of court. We got through a half-day court, and COVID was just really hitting everything at that point. They were closing down March Madness and all, and we got an order from the Chief Justice that said that we have to stop court.
One of the probably premier family court buildings in the state of South Carolina.
It is
beautiful.
Judges are jealous, the visiting judges who come. They love coming to York County, and I'm so glad our county council was able to get that pushed through and done before COVID actually hit.
Oh, yeah.
It allowed us, we never had to actually shut the courthouse down. We had to stop court at times, but with all the space that we have there, we were able to still go ahead and go forward, especially with emergency cases.
And if people who enjoy that today could see what they worked out of before that building was built, I mean, you had some double wides, you had some old buildings. I mean, it was horrible.
Well, and the security situation was terrible, and it's a much, much better secure environment now.
I can remember walking in the old building, and I walked down this little hallway, and the hallway was no wider than this table between you and me. And on one side of the table, of the aisle, were disgruntled gentlemen, and on the other side were just disgruntled ladies. And I was just waiting for a fist fight to break out.
Oh, and it used to happen. It happened. Sometimes, you know, we could probably sell tickets for some of the drama.
All right, we're going to go take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more about them online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. So, Casey, you're brand new here to Substation 2. I bet you've seen Substation 2 where you can hang out. Yeah. We do fresh subs and salads here, and we do them 6 days a week. How we do them is in the white letters, and we're all going to tell everybody how it's done at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
At Piedmont Medical Center, we have the expertise to treat the conditions that cause back pain, and we're focused on delivering compassionate care to help you live life pain-free. In fact, Piedmont Medical Center is designated a Blue Distinction Center for Spine Surgery by Blue Cross Blue Shield for our commitment to quality care and comprehensive spine surgery services. And by the way, Piedmont offers robotic spine surgery, an innovative surgical option that assists the spine surgeon and care team throughout the surgery. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us, as we get in here about once a year, Judge David Guyton, a family court judge, and a job he's had for 14 years, and he wants to go for another round of it. So how long is the term?
It's a six-year term.
Six-year term. So you've been down this road a couple of times.
I have.
You have. Yeah. He's looking forward to it with a great big smile on his face. So you're handling 2,500, 3,000 cases a year, the local court is, family court. Have you seen this number just growing and growing and growing as our population has been growing, growing, growing?
It has grown. It hasn't grown quite as bad as you would think it would, given the rate our population has increased. But it's maintained, and I think the use of mediation and you know, some things like that has helped us keep our caseload manageable.
Right. So that's been a big help, the mediation rule.
It has.
And that hasn't been around that long, has it?
It's probably been at least 5 years or so at this point.
But that forces the people to sit down with a neutral voice, see if we can work this thing out before we clog up the court.
Right. They can't get a final hearing case if they don't try mediation first.
And what would you say the success rate of the mediation is? 50%?
Frankly, I would say probably 75 to 80%.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
I mean, Manning, it's kind of like in General Sessions Court with the criminal cases at circuit court level. If you didn't have guilty pleas, you would get so far behind, you just couldn't handle the number of cases that come through. So that's how they can manage their docket. For us, if we had to try every case, it would be impossible. So, and people realize that it gets really expensive. Some of them find out too late that hate gets very expensive.
So. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about juvenile drug court and how you work in on that.
We have now about 12 kids in our juvenile court program. This was a program that was in place when I first arrived and took Judge Woods, Henry Woods' spot.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a program in which our juvenile kids who've been charged usually with substance abuse issues and maybe some other things as well, but they get to come through this program. And if they complete it in 9 to 12 months and graduate, then I'll sign an order that will expunge the charges from their record. But the program is great because it involves parents, grandparents, whoever their guardians are. They come a couple times a week. They have to go through different phases and complete community service projects. They learn a lot more than just dealing with substance abuse issues.
Now, these kids, you know, this sounds very familiar with the new homeless court over at Pathways, where if people who have incurred these minor charges are trying to, you know, get a job, and they can't because they got something on their record, I don't know how all it works out, but Judge Modler was on here to explain, they can get those things expunged as long as somebody has made the case that I'm ready to start down the pathway way it's supposed to be.
Exactly. It's a special program, and it has to be approved by the Chief Justice, and they have to appoint a judge to be able to handle that. So I'm looking forward to, at some point in the future, when Judge Smith is kind of settled in and ready to go, sharing those drug court program duties with him. Our program, really, too, I wanted to let people know, we've had some kids through their community service projects raise money for the Bethel Men's Shelter.
That's great.
And some of our kids go volunteer the same night our F3 group feeds the men at the Bethel Men's Shelter. So we're kind of pulling some things together to really make a good impression and teach some things.
You know, we've got really some very interesting work being done in the community. The Bethel Men's Shelter started it all with what they're doing. Now we have the Lifehouse Shelter for Women, which is now taking care of 60 women a night, and there's still over 100 on the waiting list. Woo! And, of course, Bethel is now expanded. And now they have the day center over at Pathways, and because of the new sprinkler systems that's put in, they can now house some more men at night over there. It's just amazing. This issue of homelessness is a big one.
It is.
It's getting bigger and bigger. Okay, so, Judge, what is it, you know, if you had the magic wand and you had the total attention of the Chief Justice, and you would say, Chief Justice, let me tell you, I think if we did this and this and this, we could really improve the overall system. Would you have something on that list?
Well, I think the Chief Justice would agree, the one who is outgoing and the incoming Chief Justice, would agree that if we could have more terms of court and get a few more judges, that would help us move matters along. Time in family court, when you're thinking about children, the longer a case goes, it does not get better for a kid, whether that is a DSS neglect and abuse, juvenile, or whether it's children subject to custody actions themselves. So that also involves the legislature and their will to be able to fund more terms of court and obtain more judges. There's a few more places around the state where their dockets are very crowded, and I think they could use some family court judges, just like we got one for York County.
So when you say more terms, explain that to me.
For instance, you know, this week here we have three terms of court. We got three judges this week in court. And so there are some counties where their populations are so low that they may only have 1 week of court per month. Typically, Union in 16th Judicial Circuit for family court only has it once. So that's one judge, 1 week that month. There are places around the state like Charleston and Greenville and Richland. You could almost double the number of judges given the population and the number of cases that come through.
Shoo-wee. Well, you may be knocking on the door of the justice for a third permanent judge.
At some point, I could foresee that happening. And that's part of the issue, is then balancing what counties people are moving to, what counties people are moving away from, and then trying to come up with how many terms of court a particular circuit should have.
Okay, so if you had a megaphone to the entire York County population, and you'd like to issue just one little bit of common sense before somebody filed papers to get divorced from each other, what do you think your megaphone would want to blurt out? What would you want to say to them?
Well, first of all, I would say, think about the children. That's what our family court system is based around, is doing what's in the best interest of children. If two parents are going to engage in a custody battle concerning their children, they really need to think about what they're putting the children through. And so I would say, please have a conversation, back up a little bit, take care of your kids, and not only in private court, but in the sense of juvenile justice as well. Take care of our kids so that we can have fathers who are out there to prevent juvenile problems.
So now you know why he's such a good judge. There you go. Judge David Guyton, thank you. You've been recertified, by the way, for another year. Go ahead. I'll tell the Chief Justice, forget all that stuff you have to do down there. We just certified you.
Okay? I'm glad you have that power, man.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, now we got a full house. We are ready. We do fresh subs and salads. We do them 6 days a week. The Colonel is here to tell us how it's done. Look at me. Look at me. At the count of three, what do we do? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.